You know, I was just thinking the other day, I've been here a couple years now. Hasn't it been a couple years? And all I got was a tiny little bass boat. That's all I was thinking about that. You know, I love that bass boat. I actually have not taken out of the package yet. I put it up in my closet because I don't want the boys to mess with it. It's actually a remote control bass boat, and you put a hook and line on it and put it out in the pond, and the fish will bite it and actually catch fish. So it's pretty unique. So I like that. It's very inexpensive. I did actually go out and buy a used boat the other day, and I'm, you know, after you pay for the registration and all the stuff that goes with it, goodness, I'd rather go back to the little one. It seems much less expensive. Well, we're going to find ourselves in the book of Deuteronomy this morning, in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is the fifth book, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, written by Moses, and as he writes this, we find in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, we find ourselves in Deuteronomy number 6. I want to remind you as you go there that the children of Israel, or the Hebrews, still known as the Hebrews, are getting ready to go into the land of Cana. And they've just spent 40 years in the wilderness. And as we know, while they were there, some miraculous things took place in that desert wilderness journey. But did you know, and you find this out from reading the book of Deuteronomy, did you know that for those 40 years that their clothes didn't start to fall apart? Do you still remember that even their feet didn't grow? The Bible says they didn't need new shoes because their feet didn't grow. They remained the same. And they said there's a couple things on people that continue to grow throughout your life is your ears. And that's why senior adults have these, well, anyway. And then you have your feet, and you know, they're supposed to keep on growing too. That's why. But anyway, so, and the Lord sustained them with clothing and with shoes. And we also know that He provided them manna, and He provided them water, and He provided them a place of worship, the tabernacle, and He provided them a flame of fire like a tornado that followed them, that was with them, and He provided their goodness. And now they're getting ready to make the journey. And as you know, and by reading the book of Deuteronomy, you know that Moses is not allowed to go. You find out Moses is not allowed to go into the land of Cana, a land that flowed with milk and honey, because he had taken credit for bringing water from the rock for the people. So he gets on top of Mount Nebo. He's able to see it from a distance, but he's not able to go in. And then he dies, and you find out that his body is hidden from all the people. And we find out why, and that's because over in the book of Jude, the devil would have loved to had the body of Moses so that they would have worshipped him instead of the Heavenly Father, because they were prone to idolatry and human worship. So they're getting ready to go. The book of Deuteronomy picks up where the book of Numbers left off after the wilderness journey, and God's giving them some last minute instructions before they make this excursion. And we find ourselves over in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And it's really pretty easy. He tells them he wants to, and just break it down in always threes, right? It's a Baptist thing, the Trinity. Break it down into threes. He wants them to fear him. He wants them to walk with him, and God wants them to serve him. Does that make sense? He wants them to fear him. He wants them to walk with him, and he wants them to serve him and serve him only. That's what the Bible says. So, and so you'll know as well that the Lord, before I begin to read Deuteronomy 6, I want you to notice that in Deuteronomy 7:8, go there just for a second. I want to remind you who these people are, who these Hebrews are, okay? Notice what the scriptures say. Deuteronomy 7, 6. It says, "For you are a holy people." You know what the word holy means. You've been set aside. "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself." I love this. "A special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." That was the Hebrews. It began all the way back when with Abram being called out and be changed to Abraham, and then the descendants of Abraham. And God chose these people and he loved them. They were a special people on the face of the earth. Now the reason I bring that out is because these same people are also you people. You say, well, how in the world is that possible? Because those Hebrews became the Israelites. The Israelites rejected Christ. Do you remember? The Jewish people. When Christians become believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Romans chapter 9 and 10, we've been segued into that promise. So I mean, it's a wonderful story. And so the book of Deuteronomy, we are a part of the history of the nation of Israel if you're a Christian this morning. Well, if you're not a Christian, you're not one of those special chosen people. You go, oh my goodness, what does that make me? It makes you lost. It makes you without Christ. And God still has mercy on those people if they receive the Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Then they too become the what? Special people. But I want you to notice, what he asked these people to do. First of all, I want you to notice that he tells them to fear him. Now I'm going to read, and just take me a few minutes, just be patient, and follow along with me in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, starting in verse 1, and I'm going to go down to, and then stop, and then we'll pick it up again. Listen to what it says. "Now this is the commandment, that these are the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe in the land which you're crossing over to possess." Remember, these are the instructions. You get ready to go over there. Listen to what I got to say. Verse 2. "That you may" what? "Fear the Lord your God." And you see that also in verse number 13. He's telling the people, you're going to go over into this land, and I want you to fear the Lord your God. Now, we have to take a look at that word fear for a moment, because there are things that make us fearful, and we call those phobias. For example, I'm not crazy about spiders, amen? I mean, I just don't like them. I'd rather mess with a snake than I would a spider. Just the other day, I had stuck my arm in the hen house to grab some eggs, and a wolf spider about that big around dropped right on my arm. And before I could freak out, the chicken grabbed it and ate it. Amen. So, you know, it saved my life. Chicken saved. Well, anyway, I have a fear. I have a fear, and it's a dreaded fear. It's not a respect. It's a dreaded fear of heights. I don't do well with heights. If I get on the edge of something that's high, I have this sense that it's pulling me over and I'm going to die. I've tried to not, you know, and as you know, in the military, one of the things you have to do is address your fears. And then one time I had to go up this pole that was 30 feet high out at Fort Jackson. This has been, you know, 25 years ago. And you get up on the top of the pole, Leon, you get up on the top of the pole and you sit on the pole. And as you sit on the top of the pole, which is about that round, it's big enough to cover your, well, anyway, it's big enough to, so that you can sit on it, but there's a rope on the top of it that goes straight down to the ground. It kind of levels down to the ground. Now, what you're supposed to do, well, you got to remember, I hate heights anyway. You go up the pole, you sit on the pole, you grab the rope in front of you, which goes down toward the ground at an angle. You jump off the pole, hold on to the rope, flip upside down, wrap your legs around it, and you work your way down to the ground. I was already afraid. Fear. I just honestly hate heights. And, you know, courage is necessary when you're afraid. Am I right? It's not necessary if you're not afraid. So I had to muster up all the courage I could, and I just knew I was going to be the one to die. But the guy in front of me was on top of it, and he was from South Korea. We sometimes train foreign military people, and he got up on there, and he fell right in the middle of it and hit the ground, broke his shoulder. They dragged him out from underneath it. The medics take care of him, and the colonel was yelling at me, "Next." I was like, I'm going to die. So, I mean, it just fear just grabbed a hold of me, and I made my way down. But, you know, I mean, I had rope burns on my feet and hands. I just wasn't going to let go of that thing. And to this day, I still do not like heights. I have a phobia of fear. Some have a phobia of water. Some have different phobias. Well, that's not the kind of fear that's being described here. So if you were to go back and look at this old Hebrew word, it was a fear, but it was a fear of respect. For example, I don't fear a fire unless it's in my house. And my house is on fire. I have a deep respect for fire. I don't mistreat fire. Or a firearm. I'm not afraid of a gun. I'm afraid of a gun that's pointed at me. Amen. I have a deep respect for that. Well, and trying to give you the taste of this word fear that's used there, God is saying this: a deep, reverent fear of what I could do. Do you see what I'm saying? You don't go before God. Many people live their Christian lives like this. Oh, God's going to kill me. Oh, my goodness. He's going to kill me. Well, the thought is he could, but he won't because, I mean, he will eventually. You're going to die. But listen to this. God loves you. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to die for you as an example and a demonstration of his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, listen, Christ died for us. Who would give his life for an enemy? Very few. Who would give one for someone that they care about? Now, maybe a few, but not many. But God gave his son. See, he loves you. But God wanted the children of Israel, the Hebrews, to have a deep respect for him. Now, when he said this to them through Moses, as Moses is speaking, could you imagine where their minds went about fearing the Lord? For an example, some of them had left Egypt. They remembered the boils. They remembered the frogs. They remembered the gnats. They remembered the blood, the water turning into blood. They remembered all those things. They remembered the Egyptians being drowned and the Red Sea. They remember when they got to the other side and a guy named Jambres and a few other people began to rebel and question God, how he opened up the earth and sucked them down into the great crevices to be seen no more. He remembered them when they complained. He remembered what God could do when they complained about the manna and God gave them the quail. And you remember, even while it was in their teeth, thousands of them died. See, God wants his people to have a deep, reverent respect for him. Now, before I continue on with this, I want to say this, that, you know, and listen to this part. This is important. You know, he wants them to fear him. He wants them to walk with him. He wants them to serve him, right? You got that. But notice these are different levels of commitment to Father. The first level of commitment is of fear. He wants them to fear him, have a deep respect of him. Now, it's not that a lot of people don't fear God. There are people who fear God. They don't know who he is, but they fear him. They do all kinds of things because they fear that there's something up there that's going to, you know, get them, whatever it may be. But there is a level of commitment in this. I know one of the first reasons, and I thought about it, and when I was younger, that I gave my life to Christ was because I didn't want to go to hell. What started that? Fear. Because I had a fear for God. I had a fear of what God could do to me. Even if you're a lost person and you believe that there's something up there, most people will at least act better because they're fear of or afraid of some type of judgment that's going to come on top of them, whatever they want to call it. Bad karma, whatever. They have this fear. And God wanted the Hebrews to also have this fear. Notice, it's a level of commitment, and it starts with fear and respect. Fear and respect. Know that if you step out of line, you could be smitten. I love the Old Testament word smote, both hip and thigh. I don't know exactly what that means, but it doesn't sound good. Amen. I can only relate it to sitting in the chair too long and when my arthritis attacks my left pelvis joint. But being smitten hip and thigh by God is probably not a good thing. But he starts them out into fear. He wants them, when you go over there, know you ought to be fearful. In this land that they were going into, by the way, was a horrible place. Let me just give you a description, real quick. Bestiality. You're talking about sexual sin. Bestiality was quite common in their culture where they were going. This is the reason when they were supposed to go there that they were supposed to kill even the animals, because they had been sexually assaulted by human beings. You go, that's crazy. My dear friend, have you ever been over to the Middle East? These type of things still go on in crazy cultures and even in America today. Listen, let me just say this. Sexual perversion is not new to the world. But these people were going over into the land of milk and honey, but it was occupied by the Canaanites, who were really some bad folks. Did you know, we talk about transgender, they had people that were guilty, sexual immorality, of even sexual relationships with dead bodies. They were going into this place, in this land. So you say, well, that's horrible. Well, let me just tell you, I'm going to draw a picture for you. A person unchecked, especially a male, can do some horrible, horrible things sexually. All you got to do is read the newspaper. See about the sex slavery in America and around the world. See when it is left unchecked with pornography. Do you remember the little girl that was kidnapped, the little Mormon girl a few years ago? Do you remember that? Do you know what drove that guy to do that? Pornography. Did you know he raped her every day as a result of watching pornography? You say, well, it's horrible. It is horrible. These people were sexual, perverted, twisted, upside down of what's natural. Listen to what else they did. Over in the land of Canaan, these people took their children and offered them to their gods by burning living children in fires. They would take their babies, and because they believed fertility was the greatest gift, they would take their living babies and put them in the walls of their homes mixed with mud. These people were addicted to drugs. It was a horrible, horrible place to go. God needed a sense of commitment from these people before they went. When we think things are really upside down in our own country and around the world, just imagine what it was like then. Not to say we're not soon to be there ourselves. But God needed a level of commitment. And the first level of commitment was that of fear. You go over there, you get involved with things, you better fear me. There's going to be a spanking coming. Notice the next level of commitment as we move on, and it's with the walk. Notice he said that you may, verse 2, that you fear the Lord your God to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command you and your son and your grandson all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you. I mean, he's giving him fair warning, amen? Listen to what he says. that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel. And this word here is the word Shema in the Hebrew language. It literally means not only hear, but be obedient. How many of you got children? Do you remember? Are you listening to what I'm telling you? Are you listening? Well, what were they missing? Yeah, they were listening, but they weren't being what? Obedient. God, this word Shema, hear, O Israel, just made to mean don't just listen, but do what I'm telling you to do. Put action behind it. He said, therefore, hear, O Israel, and be careful to observe it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly as the Lord God of your fathers has promised you, a land flowing with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, of the Lord of God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you what? Walk. By the way, when you lie down and when you rise up, you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and you shall be in the frontlets between your ears, and you shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. See, God just didn't want the people to have a fear of Him. He wanted, that was the first level of commitment, see? And you can go back and forth on these commitments, by the way. He not only wanted them to have a fear of them, He wanted them to walk as He told them to walk. We call that discipleship today. We call that living a life of what? Holiness. So our first commitment to the Lord always starts out, or generally starts out, in fear of what God can do to us if we're not. But the other part of it is He wants us to walk that way. He wants us to live our lives as He wanted the Hebrew people to live their lives according to what God had told them. That they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, body, and what? Soul. Who else repeated this? Jesus Christ, when they came to Him and said, what is the greatest command? Love your neighbor as yourself. But above that, He said to love the Lord God Almighty, heart, mind, body, and what? Soul. He wanted them to walk. He wanted them to be an example to a lost world. Listen, they were going over into the land of Canaan where all these terrible things were taking place. And I failed to mention, these people worshipped everything. They were idolaters from the get-go. They had to fear Him, but they had to walk. Why do they need to walk in the commandments of the Lord? So that people could see they were what? Different. Remember, they were a special people, a treasure to God. They claimed we were Hebrews. We're going over into this nasty, nasty Canaan land. Even though it flows with milk and honey, there's some bad people over there. Not only do we need to fear the Lord, but we need to walk. We need to do as He says. Do you see the different level of commitment? Some people in Christianity just live in this fear thing. I better not do that. God's going to get me. Better do this. God's going to get me. And that's all they ever think about. I have great Catholic friends, and there's two different types of Catholics. And I'm not beating them up. I believe there are many Christians in the Catholic faith. But there's two types of Catholics. They're guilty Catholics and Catholics that aren't guilty. You know, they run around, oh me, I did this, I did that, I'm really, God's upset with me, He's mad at me, and run around guilty all the time. Well, I'm going to tell you, my guilt was taken away when Christ died for me, amen? He died for me, I don't have to live on a guilt trip. But on the other end of it too, I need to walk, as the Hebrew people did, in that horrible place they were going to, as though I were a special people to God. That I were a holy people. You got to do that when you go out there and live with the heathens. When you're with the pagans. When they're with the lost people. When they're doing all this other stuff. And God didn't want them to look like the other people in the other land. He wanted them to look unique. He wanted them to do strange things. Notice what He wanted, the strange things He wanted them to do. He wanted them to put Bible verses on the doorposts. Love the Lord God with all your mind, body, and soul. He wanted them to put that on their doorposts of their homes. So anybody come by in the pagan world, they would go, hey, how are you doing? Whoa, what's this on your doorpost? What's this? Some kind of fart? Scriptures? Oh, that's offensive to me. I don't like it. Oh, my goodness. Scriptures on your doorpost. Ah, take it away. And he wanted them to put verses of scriptures, listen to this, on the center of their foreheads with these like ribbons hanging on it so that they would keep in front of them what? God's word. Because when you walk forward, you're going ahead. You should always be looking ahead with God's what? It is a lamp unto my path. God's word, God's commands. I'm going to live differently. And Jesus had a problem with this later on, as we see in the New Testament, because some people, listen, and I just want to, they not only feared God, but they looked like they walked with God, but they didn't really. They just looked like they did. Do you remember them? They walked around the town with the big phylacteries on their head and the ribbons and robes and holy, 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 you know, with their big 20-pound King James Bible, three-piece suit, dressed, little shoes with the things that flip on them, the tassels, you know. And they spoke a great language, you know. Dear brother, we're going to the church. And they used language like steeple and pulpit and pew and all this strange language. But Jesus said to them, you look okay, but really what you are is a sepulcher or a grave full of dead man's bones. There's nothing in you. You look like you're doing the walk, but there's something missing. Do you see the difference? See, God told them to do these strange things so that they would look like a special people when they went and they saw the Philistines and the the Musites, you just name them all. The Amalekites, the Jerseyites, the Marylandites, you know, the Virginiakites, and, you know, the Democrites, and when you know, Republicites too. And he wanted them to look different. He wanted them to be seen, not only the fear of God, oh my goodness, I love you, God, but I know you're going to keep me straight. But Lord, listen, you want me to walk with you and you want me to do it as an example to everyone else in this strange land because I am a special person. I'm chosen by God. I am the treasure of God and he wants me to be a holy, particular people. And you go, well, that's just Old Testament. No, it's not. Go look in the book of Peter. He says, we are pilgrims passing through. We are a holy, according to Peter, God written by through the Holy Spirit. We are a holy, what does he call us? Priesthood. We're to be different. See, it's a level of commitment. Some Baptists are just living in fear. Some are walking. They look good. You can see that there's some walking that look good, but really they're not really there. You know what I mean? But there are some that are. And you really know the difference. They're the ones that actually you can say they're the same way 24/7. And they still make mistakes. They still have issues. But you can tell by their spirit they love the Lord. You can tell by their kindness, their generosity, the things they say to others, their kindness and sincerity, the peace that they have that passes all understanding. You can tell these are the Hebrew people living over in the land of Canaan where all those heathens and pagans live. See, it's a level of commitment. So you've got fear me. You have walk according to me. And we'll just go down verse chapter. Jump over to chapter 7 quickly. I'd read it all, but for time's sake, let me read chapter 7, verse 1. Notice the last one is serve me. He wants to be served. So fear me, walk with me, and serve me. Deuteronomy chapter 7. When the Lord, verse 1, when the Lord your God brings you into the land which you go to possess and cast out many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, I think those are the people that sell Amway Amorites, and the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, even nations greater and mightier than you. Listen to what he says. And when the Lord your God delivers them over to you, you shall conquer them and utterly destroy them, and you shall make no covenant with them, nor show mercy on them, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their daughter for your son, for they will turn your sons away from following me. Notice what here, to serve other gods. See, God only wants them to serve him. He'll be aroused against you and destroy you suddenly, but thus shall deal with them, and you shall destroy their altars, break down their sacred pillars, cut down their wooden images, and burn their carved images in fire. You are a holy people to the Lord your God, to the people you God who has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples of the face of the earth. Notice what God wanted them to do. He wanted them to fear him, right? You got that. Want him to walk with him, and he wanted to serve him. Now, these folks had to serve him. See, now, I know this is crazy. Don't take this out of context. I'm not telling you to go and burn down the villages. We're not going to claim holy war on anybody, where we go and destroy their altars and go up here to the Jehovah's Witnesses and beat them up or destroy them all. I'm not telling you to do that. But back in their economy, in their day, God was telling them, don't get caught up in serving their gods. You serve me. And when you get there, you're going to destroy them. See what I'm saying? You will serve me. You will fear me. You will walk with me. And then you're going to serve me. And when you get there, this is what your job is. Do you see the level of commitment? See, you could have people that said just this. Well, God, I'm okay under the fear thing, you know. Got the fear thing down. I got that. I'm okay. And I don't mind walking with you, you know, carrying the Bible, looking like this, singing songs. I don't mind the little walk. But then God says this. Now, when you get there, over into this land, you will serve me, and this is what you're going to do. Well, that's where we got issues. Wait a minute, God. Can you imagine the Hebrews? Wait a minute, God. You don't understand. I got a job. I work 40 hours a week. Got stuff I need to do. Well, you know, you don't understand, it's going to cost me to serve you. I mean, I've got to give up, what, a tithe? You want me to give a tithe to you? You don't understand, I work, I give my taxes away, I can't make ends meet already, and you want me to tithe to you? You want me to serve you by giving, to say I completely trust you? Is that what you're saying, Lord? And you want me to do something else? You want me to go over into this land where these crazy people live, all caught up in all this craziness, and you want me to witness and be a testimony to you? You want me to wear all this crazy stuff, not just in the church house, but out where I work, where I go to school with my family? And the answer is this: yes. If these people of Israel, the Hebrews, had only gone with fear and looks and never followed up with service, nothing would have ever been done. Think about it. Oh, there were some reluctant people as you read the Old Testament. You remember the 10 spies, right? What did they do? Well, yeah, we follow God. We look like we follow God. But you want us to go up on the top over there and get down in that and do what? Are you kidding? I'm not going to do that. These people were like grasshoppers to these giants. We're not going to do it. But you had an 80-year-old man named what? Caleb? Who said, look, I fear God. I'm going to walk with God. And until I take my last breath, I say, give me that mountain. I'll serve God. Do you see the difference? And the ones that made the difference are recorded in the Bible. The ones who were willing to serve. Now, not every name. Gideon had a whole army. You don't see every one of their names. But that they stood with the Lord mattered. That they served with God mattered. And you say, well, that's crazy. That takes a real commitment. And you're exactly right. It does take a real commitment. Levels of commitment that God wants from his people, the Hebrews. And remember, we have been segued married into the history of Israel? And does God call Christians to fear him? Yes. Does God call us to walk with him? Absolutely. Does God call us to serve him? 100%. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, we look at your words. What a tough time it would have been for Moses and for the children, the Hebrews, to go into the land of Canaan. How nerve-wracking it must have been for them to think about the journey that they were about to take. They were so happy to get the milk and the honey and all the great things. But Lord, when it came to the deepest level of service, as we read through the Bible, we see where they've failed. And sometimes, as we see that as an example, we see ourselves as well. Father, you know us. You know sometimes we fluctuate. Sometimes we're all about service, and then sometimes we pull back. Lord, sometimes we don't even walk. We thank you for your grace and your mercy during those times, that even when we fail, you still tell us to get up and to continue in our journey. I pray for my friends here at Fair Havens, for my brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray for myself that as we face the difficulties in our own nation and the land we live in, that we'll have a deeper level of commitment in all that we do. Nothing will ever change if it's only a walk. Help us through the Holy Spirit to convict our hearts to be people of servitude to the one Lord God Almighty. Amen and amen.